In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. The season of Lent has begun, and although Christians should at all times and all places conduct self-examination and pray for forgiveness, Lent provides a special time and place to emphasize these things. Lent is furthermore a time to look at evil realistically, to look it straight in the face in order to prepare us for the celebration of God's overcoming of evil as revealed in the resurrection. So Lent is truly a good and healthy thing. Now, in my own simple mind, I tend to think of Lent as spiritual spring cleaning. Or, to put it another way, spiritual spring training. Lots of Northerners come to Florida to see spring training for baseball, and it's good for us to do some training. There was a French priest who conducted his Ash Wednesday service, and when he got ready to leave, he bundled all up because it was really cold outside that day. And he'd only gone outside a couple of blocks, and suddenly a voice came out of the shadows and said, "Your money or your life." Well, he was really flustered, and he began unbuttoning his overcoat to get his wallet, and the thief saw that he was a priest. He said, "Oh, Father, never mind. I didn't know you were a priest." And again, the priest stammered, "You are forgiven, my son. Here, have a piece of chocolate." And the thief said, "Oh, no, thank you, Father. I gave up chocolate for Lent." I hope that our observation of Lent will make a significant change in our lives. Now, the gospel lesson of Jesus' baptism by John presents some problems for Christians, because if John's baptism were one for repentance, a ritual cleansing from sin, then why did Jesus need it if he was, as we believe, without sin? Well, it functioned in some other ways. I'd like to suggest three ways. For one thing, it was a moment of decision and identification. For 30 years or so, Jesus had stayed in Nazareth, and we can only imagine that for a long time he had a desire to go on his mission. And now he knew it was the time for him to begin his life's work. He left what was familiar and comfortable to answer the summons and challenge of God. And it was a moment of identification. He identified himself clearly with a movement in which he experienced God. And I must add, a dangerous movement, because as you heard, the next thing that happened to John was that he was arrested. Now, for us, too, it matters with whom we choose to identify. You know, a person can be wealthy or comfortable and still identify with causes that bring comfort to the hungry and the homeless. In fact, I'll go further. I think that every person should have a friend who is poor. And I promise you, you'll get more out of that relationship than you'll give. In terms of identification, I love the story in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. The main character, Christian, came upon a palace that was heavily guarded and required a battle to enter it. And a man sat by the gate, taking down the names of those who would dare the assault. And for that reason, everyone was hanging back. But then it says, a man of very stout countenance came up to that man and said, "Set my name down, sir." he wasn't afraid. I would suggest to you that there are some lists, even enemy lists, which are good to have our names on. So it's my hope that we will identify ourselves as Christians. You know, I think it's getting a little bit more difficult to be a Christian in the world today. Perhaps we need to occasionally renew our commitment. Now, one little way we might do that is how we dip our fingers in the holy water as we enter or leave church and make the sign of the cross on our foreheads. And perhaps we say something like, O Lord, I renew my baptismal commitment. I want to be your soldier and servant. I want to be a person with a mission from you. Lots of other ways we could do it. That's just one. A second meaning of Jesus' baptism was approval. Jesus likely needed some assurance that the path that he had chosen was right. Now, we may not appreciate this, but in Jesus' time, the Jews believed that God had stopped speaking with the prophets 500 years earlier. But to Jesus, the voice came directly. And notice that in Mark's version, it is not spoken to the crowd, but rather directly to Jesus. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. At his baptism, Jesus submitted his decision to God, and God unambiguously approved. Now, I believe that when any of us decide for God, we also need approval. We may consider ourselves unworthy sinners, but God created every one of us, and God forgives us all our sins. So it's not too much of a stretch to imagine that God could say, "You are my beloved son or daughter. With you I am well pleased." It's considered impolite sometimes to ask for praise or assurance or a blessing. But I believe that it's all right to do that, that we all need it. And I will tell you that when I've done it or had seen people do it, 99.9% of the time, people oblige and they give them the blessing and the assurance that they need. So my hope is we won't be shy if we need it, and that we won't be shy in giving it. The third meaning of Jesus' baptism is that it was a moment of commissioning. The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. It descended in the form of a dove, which symbolized gentleness and peace, as the dove that brought the olive branch to Noah. I mean, it could have been a very different sort of experience. It could have been one that created violence, but it's not. Jesus' kingdom is a kingdom of gentleness and love. For us, too, when we decide for God, God sends us the Holy Spirit. And it may come in all kinds of ways, sometimes very dramatically, sometimes very quietly. But it does provide us peace of mind, wisdom, clarity of vision, passion, and love. I have come to observe and believe that no great deed is ever done without enthusiasm. And I remind us that the word enthusiasm means literally to be filled with God. Now, we celebrate this commissioning in the church in the sacramental rite of confirmation. But that's not the only way that it happens. Like renewing our baptismal vows, we can renew our commission. Perhaps we need to do it several times. Then our story concludes by saying, "And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him." I looked up what wild beasts there were in the deserts above the Dead Sea, and they had mountain lions and foxes and snakes and scorpions. But, you know, I think that this term is more than just actual physical wild beasts, but it's also a symbolic thing. The wild beasts, we can't imagine what they were, but some of them were perhaps personal demons. But also, he was waited on by the angels. And again, I hope that we all realize that the word angel means literally messenger from God. So an angel might not look like those Renaissance angels with the beautiful wings. You know, angels could be any sort of a messenger. Just one little example of that. I could think of lots of them, but one was a few years ago, I went to a diocesan service and I wanted something unusual. I guess I better tell you what it is or you'll start guessing, right? You know how all churches get holy oil to anoint the people that are sick? Well, at our church, we had decided to give holy oil to practically everybody at every service. See? So I wanted a lot of oil. Now, I went to one of the staff members of the diocese, and I was a little bit shy about it and said, that's what I wanted, and would that be possible? And she was very nice about it, very cordial, very accommodating. And so she sent me off with this great big Mazola jug of holy oil. And the thing I remember is I left, she flashed me this great big smile. And I thought, yes, it's all right. And the warmth of that smile lasted with me for days. In fact, it was a couple of years ago. I still remember it. My point is that, you know, angels appear in funny ways and sometimes very small and humble ways. And maybe you'll see some. Maybe you'll even be one. It's possible. Jesus' baptism and testing. Some of the translations refer to temptation using the word testing. I like that better because I understand what testing means. You know, we test out a product before we turn it loose on the general public. Jesus tested his abilities and his challenges before he went out to do his ministry. So, in our story, Jesus' baptism was a moment of decision and identification with God and God's people. Secondly, it was a moment of approval in which he heard God blessing and encouraging him. And he blesses and encourages us. And it was a moment of commissioning in which he received and we received the Holy Spirit to give us the enthusiasm, strength, courage, everything we need to do what God is calling us to do. So, like Jesus, we are likely to be tested. In fact, count on it. So watch out for the wild beasts. But don't forget, the angels are there too. So please, hear God saying to you, you are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased. Amen.